When I was an undergrad, I thought of my professors as like mini boss battles. It's like, I need to defeat this boss to get my degree. Now that I'm on the other side, I'm like, no, the teacher and the student are on the same side. I think math can be marketed better. Maybe they don't want to watch like a 20-minute YouTube video. If they just want a 1-minute explainer, I can do it. I joined TikTok. Kids are there anyways. Might as well just have them learn while they're on there.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Vicaria, aka The Math Guru, and you're listening to Math Therapy, a podcast that explores the root causes of math trauma and the empowering ways we can heal from it. Whether you think you're a math person or not, you're about to find out that math people don't actually exist, but the scars that math class left on many of us definitely do. Oh, and don't worry, no calculators or actual math were involved in the making of this podcast. Who is ready to meet a real-life math TikTok celeb? You are, I am, we all are, and it is happening. Today you're going to meet Howie Wah, math teacher extraordinaire and viral math celebrity who is legit making math cool on the internet. If you know me, you know just how obsessed I am with improving math's horrible reputation in mass media. And Howie is doing just that by making it fun and accessible to absolutely everyone. Today you're going to find out how he's doing that, why it's such an important factor in helping our students build better relationships with math, and the most TMZ level gotcha question ever posed on this podcast. What is your favorite number and why is it 7? The answer will shock you. Howie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Vanessa. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited you're here. Just for the listeners to know, Howie's hair looks amazing. Basically the Justin Bieber of math right now. Very jealous. Cool. Okay, so I have to say, you are the first TikTok celebrity I've had on the podcast since. I've only had one other one, and it was Kind. Do you know who that is?
She's amazing, yeah.
And I feel like I had her like before she broke, because now she's so famous. But what I was going to ask is, so like Kind obviously does, she has a whole thing of doing math and drag. It's so incredible. I love it. And I'm so glad it's taken off. But you've also taken off for doing math on TikTok. And I wondered if you could explain to us like what your thing is. Like, what do you do?
What my thing is, I just really like explaining the whys, because I think people just deserve to understand what's happening. And there's a lot of K-12 math that I didn't really understand when I was a student. It wasn't until I was a teacher after my master's in math that I'm like, oh, that's what's happening. So I just wanted to share all of that. I'm super low tech. I just use a whiteboard. So yeah.
Well, I think that's actually one of the coolest things about you, because I'm really big on making math accessible, right? To like everyone. And TikTok, I feel like social media gets such shade because people don't take the platform seriously. But you're like, my goal is to reach people that wouldn't traditionally be trying to learn math, right? Like otherwise they would be in school or they'd be like at teacher's college or whatever. So you're reaching all of these people who happen to be on this platform, many of whom probably have never been interested in math before.
Yeah, that's half of the reason why I made a TikTok. One half was that I'm a very sentimental person. I hate things ending. So half the reason why I made a TikTok was because I wanted to still teach my past students who are future teachers or currently teachers. And, you know, I do teach math. So there's a lot of math that I cannot teach in class because it's not like part of the curriculum or the standards. So I'm like, hey, like if you still want to, I have a newsletter. I send them a newsletter. If they want to still hear from me, they can sign up using their email address. And I said, if you still want to learn math from me, I just made a TikTok. So follow me there. And the other half was that I think math can be marketed better. So maybe they don't want to watch like a 20-minute YouTube video on something. It's like, if they just want a 1-minute explainer, I can do it. I joined when TikTok had a 1-minute cap. So it's like, try to explain it as quickly as possible and as succinct as possible. So yeah, that was half the reason why I made a TikTok in the first place, because kids are there anyways, teenagers are there, adults are there. So it's like, might as well just have them learn while they're on there.
What do you think? Like, it's interesting what you just said about being like, try to explain it as fast as I can in a minute. I think there are so many benefits to that, just because like, first of all, I certainly have zero attention span and I know that most kids don't either. But I actually get a lot of shade myself whenever I post something like, okay, sorry, I've ranted to every podcast guest about this and this is going to be our supercut, is me ranting about this. I've been getting all this shade for talking about the times tables and not not like fully explaining. So for example, like I did this minute long video about like how cool the 9 times tables are and all the tricks you can do. And all of these people are like, you need to explain the why and this and that. And I'm sort of like, okay, but the whole point is I have 1 minute and I'm trying to engage an audience that otherwise wouldn't be engaged and to pique their curiosity. Do you feel that's irresponsible of me? Do you feel there's a benefit and a curse to only having a minute? Like, what are your thoughts?
You could always have a second part. It's like, now that I piqued your curiosity, here's why it works. So you could do a second part. But like, every video has its purpose. And like, no one can expect a video to be like complete. You know, it's like, there's always going to be something that you missed or that someone misses or whatever. So it's, we just need to all accept that like, not everything can fit in a single video. There's always going to be different cases to consider and all of that. So,
what kind of reaction do you get from your videos and who is your audience? Like, do you find that people like are like, oh my God, I never liked math and then I found your account?
Yeah, there's like half that and half like, I'd rather do the long division algorithm. It's like, okay, but do you understand what's happening? Like, do you know what carry the one means? Do you know what bring down the two means? So there's that, but everyone has different values. So I don't take any of that too seriously. Some people are like, I just want to get the answer, and that's great. Some people are more like, I want to understand what's happening. That's great. But I just need to remember that everyone has different values and you really can't please everyone.
Well, that's wise words. I mean, I need to hear this because what do I say to the trolls? Like, do you have haters?
I don't even reply to them just because it's like they want that. Yeah, I mean, like there's a lot of accounts that just don't have their like actual name, their picture. So if you're hiding behind an anonymous name, you're going to talk whatever you want with no consequences. They're going to feel like that. So I don't really take any of that to heart.
Wow, you're a better person than me, Howie. Thank you so much. So I've heard a lot of talk lately about humanizing mathematics. People love to say the term humanizing mathematics. And I often wonder, like, when a term gets so big that we just use it without contextualizing it for people, what it actually means. And I actually wondered when I was thinking about you, I was like, does humanizing mathematics have to do with making math accessible to more people? Like, what do you think? Are those two things, like, is what you're doing humanizing mathematics?
Yeah. So when I think of humanizing mathematics, I think that when I was in K-12 and even in my bachelor's program in math, I just wish that I was a robot. I wish that I could just like memorize all of these things. Even like when I finished my bachelor's degree, or actually during my bachelor's degree, I thought that to be good at math, all I needed to do was memorize formulas, theorems, definitions, and just that's it. Like, that's what it means to be good at math. So rather than wishing that you're a robot, that we just think about how math is creative, how math is accessible, that we think of math in so many different and correct ways, and just honor that and go from there. To see that there's so many different ways of approaching a problem, it's not just about memorizing and all of that. And just make math class a way of we're just like listening to each other, building off of people's ideas rather than like, just follow this algorithm and then you're good.
Do you think that like in doing that, because in a way you're doing that too, right? You're kind of like here, I'm doing this on a different platform. I'm sharing a different perspective with a different audience, like allowing different people to access it, which to me is like the epitome of humanizing mathematics, right? Allowing everyone to feel like their humanness is respected and belongs in the math class. How closely do you think our lack of doing that leads to math trauma or like math anxiety for kids? Like how related are those two to you?
Yeah, I teach math to future elementary school teachers. And a lot of them, I ask them like, raise your hand if you've ever done it a different way than your teacher and you got it correct, but they marked you wrong because you didn't do it their way. And almost every single time, everyone raises their hand. Math should be accessible and math should be understandable to them. It's like, well, it made sense to me. I did a long division algorithm video maybe 2 weeks ago and so many students, or not long division, partial quotients. Like what's with this new way of dividing, even though it's not new?
Wait, what is that? What is the new, tell me what it is.
Yeah, so like partial quotients. So say that we're doing 136 divided by 4. Partial quotients would be, okay, how many 4s are in 136? Someone can say, well, I know 25 4s is 100. I have 36 left. I know 9 4s is 36. So we just combine what we have. So 25...
Wait, what? I've never done that. So 25 plus 9?
Yeah. So
wait, I love that. See, this is what's so cool is like my mind would never work that way. Like, I get what you did. I would never think to do that in my life. Like, why would I choose 100? And why would I choose? Like, I have so many questions. Yeah. Also, for everyone listening, if you're like fucking stressed out right now, it's so hard to do this kind of thing without paper. So, keep in mind that, like, this is hard for even me. Like, I'm like looking into my brain for these numbers. And I never do math with guests on the podcast. This is the second time I've done it like ever. Cause it's actually, I get serious math anxiety. Like I start being like, oh my God, what if I can't calculate this? But also who fucking gives a fuck? The whole point is that we're learning. That's the whole point is like, we don't know everything. Okay. So I totally took away from your initial point, which was that you were doing a video on partial quotients.
Yeah. And so many people would say like, that is how I would naturally do it, but the teacher would mark me wrong because I didn't do it with long division.
I see. Okay, so here's the thing. You know, we're on a podcast about math trauma and about math anxiety, and you were talking about what like prompted you to do this is even though you have a degree in math and in teaching, you were kind of like, I don't even understand the math behind what I'm teaching. Like I was never taught it. Have you ever felt anxious around math? Like have you ever had anxiety around math yourself?
Yeah, there was one class in college that made me cry. on the first test, I got a 48%. And I was literally, when I saw that, I was in my bedroom just like laying on the floor crying because it's like, how am I going to recover from a 48% on my first test?
Well, how did you do it?
Well, I ended up with a C with a 66 or 69%. So yeah, I'm very grateful. Only 6 of us passed out of like 24 students. It was a really hard class.
I have some questions around this. The first is, was that the first time you experienced any sort of like nervousness around math?
Yeah.
In college?
And, wow. Yeah. And it just screw all of the creativity and all of that. I just want to memorize things. Cause like when you're in a situation like that where your grade is on the line, it's like, I'm just going to do my best to memorize. I'm not going to care about anything else. I just want to memorize this and that's it. There's no joy. It was just like, just memorize as much as you can.
Okay, but you've hit on something really important because it's, you know, I talk about math trauma a lot. And when we think about math trauma, we always think it's like some huge thing, like someone yelling at you or being bullied. But we all have these little tiny like wounds around math. And I don't know would you consider yourself as someone having experienced math trauma or no?
I mean, does it count that when I look at an exit number, whenever I see that math course number, I get really, not scared, but I just remember that math class. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then yeah.
because that's, and it's not, again, I'm not trying to be like, Howie, you come on my podcast, so I can tell you your traumas. Yeah. I'm just like, I actually think it's really important for us to relate to our students this way and being like, we've all had at least one experience with math that has made us feel like very uncomfortable. And I've never actually heard anyone talk about what you're talking about, which is that I don't want to phrase this wrong. So tell me if I'm incorrect, but it's like you're going along your life. Math is joyful. Math is good. And some experience in math made you feel like the joy was much less important than getting the grade.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, I don't want an F on my transcript, you know, like I want to graduate with honors. Like, I don't want to retake this class.
That's deep to me because it's like in that moment, you had to sacrifice the joy you felt your whole life and be like, what strategies can I use to just get the mark? And I would wager that our students feel like that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how is it fair of us to be like, don't worry about the mark, like joy, creativity, la, 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 la. Like, what if someone had said that to you?
Yeah. I mean, like right now I do tips of the day. I start every day with a tip of the day. And it's really funny that we're talking about this because the next tip of the day that I'm giving to my Thursday class is focus on the learning. The grade will earn itself. And before that, one of my previous tips is that the teacher and the student are on the same side. So just like building that relationship, it's like, hey, we're all on the same side. Because when I was an undergrad, I thought of my professors as like mini boss battles, in the way of getting my degree. It's like, I need to defeat this boss to like get my degree. Yeah. But now that I'm on the other side, I'm like, no, like teachers want to help students. So I'm very big on being explicit with my students. It's like, hey, remember, we're all on the same side. So ask as many questions as you want. Come to office hours. If you're too afraid to ask questions in front of everyone, just ask me after class, before class, through email. But yeah, just being really explicit that we're we're all on the same side. And if you just focus on the learning, I promise you the grade will earn itself.
Do you really believe that?
Yeah. Yeah, because the grade, I think the grade reflects the learning.
Because the grade reflects the learning.
Yeah.
I really like that because I also think this is a really important thing for parents and stakeholders to know when they're like, oh my God, why are you wasting all this time with our kids and teaching them about like the emotional component of math and all this learning? And you're like, no, like I always say this too, where I'm like, the goal of math therapy isn't for a kid to get a 90, but if you're helping a child build a better relationship with math, the grades will come. I mean, like, I'm not saying they'll get a 90, but like they're going to end up doing better because they have all these math adjacent skills that will help them do better. They'll be more confident. They'll be more resilient. They'll be more enthusiastic. You know what I mean? Like all those things. So I think that's actually a really like profound, a really powerful quote. I'm saying powerful because I've said powerful in every interview. I actually watched a video you just posted about how you don't like to use the word you.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear about that. That was juicy.
Oh, yeah. So my freshman year of college, I took a communications class and something that stuck out to me was... She said, you is one of the most powerful words. Like, you did this wrong. Mm. You didn't get this correct. And that, like, stuck with me. And that was, like, 14 years ago. I still remember that. So I'm like, yeah, you is a powerful word. So I try to avoid it whenever it's anything negative. Like, pointing at their work and said, like, you got this wrong. You used the wrong formula. We could just, like, talk about the work without connecting it to the student. It's like... Oh, this formula would be used for perimeter rather than area.
Oh my God.
Rather than say like, you got this wrong, you know? So.
I love that because, I mean, I talk a lot about how powerful language is. Mm-hmm. And like, it's funny because I've never even thought about this particular word. You know, I think about words like, oh, it's really tricky to use the word hard or easy. Like there's so many implications. Yeah. But you, who would think, yeah, like that idea of like, would you say you should use the, or like maybe it's an okay idea to use the word you when you're saying something positive?
Exactly. Because it's so powerful, I would use it for positive. It's like, you did an amazing job.
Wow.
I can tell you put a lot of effort into this.
Right.
So just know that the word you is so powerful that I would personally not use it for anything negative, but I would absolutely use it for positive. Because like written language can be interpreted in so many different ways.
Yes.
So like, even though I try to be kind, the word you can just like totally make it so personal. It's like, you forgot to do this. Like they could take it so hard. And like, I don't blame them because it's just written. They can interpret it however they want. So I just avoid it.
Honestly, that's such a great tip. And it's so easy to do, right? Like I love things that you're like, this is so easy. This is just a really quick fix. Okay. Oh my God. This is incredible. You're an incredible human being. Oh. Do your students think you're so cool because you're on TikTok? Like, does it make you like, do they listen to you more? Come on.
This semester was the first semester that students actually registered for my class because they know me from TikTok. Like no one else before this knew. But
that's cool though.
But yeah, like I tell them it's like half the reason why I make this, why I have an account is for you. So you'll notice that I do a lot of like repeated videos. Like, I'll just, like, remake them, and it's more for my students. It's like, hey, let's talk about the different ways to subtract. Let's talk about long division. Let's talk about greatest common factor. Half the reason is for my students, so they can watch it if they were absent or if they need to prepare for the test or if they need to rewatch it again.
I love this. I love this so much. You know what? Honestly, my master's thesis was called Imagining a World Where Paris Hilton Loves Math, and it was all about how math has a marketing problem. It was all about that. It was like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, look at the media around math. Everyone who does math looks like a loser. When we advertise math to students, it looks so lame. Like, it has such a branding problem. And I love that you're out there on the platforms where the kids are. Because I find with school, we're like, well, kids have to come to school so we can do whatever we want. We can make it as shitty we want and they have to come anyways. And it's like, yeah, but they're not going to like it. And I like that you're like, no, I'm going to go where my audience that I want to reach is. I'm not going to expect them to come to me. I'm actually going to serve them. Like, I just think it's really beautiful and really cool and really noble. And this is a, if you can't beat them, join them. Like for everyone out there who's like, oh, social media, like kids, it's like, well, guess what? They're on TikTok. So do you want to talk to them? It's right there.
Yeah.
Wow. That just tired me out. Okay. We're down to the final two questions that I ask everyone. Oh, you have 30 seconds to answer. It's not a hard 30. Like take as long as you want. Okay. What is the one thing you'd like to see change about the way math is taught in schools?
I know it can't be like a standard, but I wish that there were more like built-in surprises and curiosities in math. I really wish that the birthday paradox, like all of the different paradoxes are talked about. Just things that like blow your mind that you're like, what? Just to make students interested in math.
I love that. Surprises. That's so fun. I'm just picturing someone jumping out of a cake every day.
Yeah, like there's so many cool math problems that are online. I wish that, I don't want to say like that it's mandatory for them to show it, but it's like, hey, let's take a look at this to see like, why does this work? What's happening? What's wrong here? Why does this conclude to 1 = 2? What's wrong? I wish there were more of like those types of problems.
Yeah.
And like, you can force it. A lot of those 1 = 2 things is that you can't divide by 0, but I wish that it was more like explicit that those types of questions are in the classroom.
More clickbait in math class is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Okay. And finally, what would you say to someone who's like, Howie, cool, great stuff, but I'm just not a math person?
Well, if you're a person and you do math and you're a math person, that's what I believe. I would start by saying like, well, how would you do some problem like 17 plus 18, right? And whatever their way is, that's their own. And how they think about it is their own, and everyone has their own way of doing things. And that's the beautiful thing about math. Math is so creative that don't think that, oh, I'm not a math person because the long division algorithm isn't natural to me or whatever. Something else is more natural. It's like, well, sure, like it's an algorithm. It works all the time, but like maybe your way is more efficient in other scenarios. Everyone thinks about math differently. And because everyone thinks about math differently, we are all math people.
I love that. I love that.
So don't like fill in like, this is what I think a math person is, and I don't fit that characteristic. Nope.
Is there anything you wanted to talk about that I didn't bring up?
I think we are all good. What is your favorite number?
Oh my God, that's right. The question was supposed to be, you were supposed to ask me, what is your favorite number and why is it? No,
what is your favorite number?
Okay, you ask me whatever question you want.
Yeah, because last time I said, what is your least favorite number and why is it 7?
Why did you say that? Why is it 7?
I was going to tweet about it saying like, what is everyone's least favorite number from 1 to 10 and why is it 7? And then you said that 7 is one of your favorite numbers.
It's my favorite number.
Oh, wow.
But why is it your least favorite number?
No, because you can't divide by 7 mentally really well. Like, you can't tell if a number is divisible by 7 readily versus like all of the other single digit divisibility rules is so easy. 7's just way too hard to do mentally.
Okay. I've never thought about it this way. You're looking at like the functionality of the number.
Yeah.
I'm looking at like the aesthetic of the number. Like, 7 is like a fucking wild ride. Oh my God, this reminds me that I'm going to guess your sign, because I was about to be like, I feel 7 is a very Gemini number. Don't make a facial expression.
Okay.
You're already doing it. What sign are you? What sign are you? Okay, just don't tell me. You hate 7. I love 7. I don't feel like you're a Gemini, but now I'm like, are you a Gemini? Don't say anything. Are you an air sign? Are you a water sign? You're not an earth sign. You're not a fire sign, in my opinion. I think you're an air sign. I think you're a Gemini. Are you a Gemini?
Do you want me to answer?
Yes.
No, I'm not a Gemini.
Okay, hold on. Are you an Aquarius?
No.
Are you a Libra?
I'm not a Libra.
What the fuck, Howie? What are you?
I'm a Leo.
I don't know what to say. I did not see this coming, literally at all. Fine. I mean, I think a 7 is a very Gemini number, and I feel like, what do you like? An 8?
What number do I like?
Yeah.
8's nice.
That's a Leo number.
Out of any number, I think 16 or 24. I really like even numbers.
So 8, but multiples of 8?
Yeah, I would say that.
Okay, so
I'm
an
August birthday, so 8 is nice. 10's nice.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And this, like, the Leo card, the Leo tarot card is an 8.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, I'm the type of person that I need my volume on an even number, or else I think something bad's going to happen. Like, it's that bad where I'm like, I need it on an even number.
Really?
Like, even ending in 5, I cannot do it. I need it to be an even number, or else I think something bad's going to happen.
Wait, but really? Will you actually change it?
I will change it. Even if it's like way too loud, I will change it. I'm like, I'm sacrificing it. I'm sacrificing the loudness for an even number.
That's amazing. Oh, okay. Yeah. Howie, tell everyone where to find you.
You can find me at Twitter or X, TikTok. You can go on my website, howiewa.com, howiewha.com. Yeah, you could just find me there. I have a Facebook page, Instagram page. If you just look me up, Howie Wa, that would be fine.
You're amazing. You're so cool. Thank you so much. We're going to say bye, but don't hang up. I'm really bad at saying bye, but let's try it anyway. Howie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You are amazing. Everyone go follow Howie on TikTok. He's so cool. And I'll hopefully see you in person soon.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, what a vibe. Wow. It just makes me so happy to know that there are people out there who might think they hate math, and then they like discover Howie's channel or like similar math channels that flip their view about what math could be. I really believe that this is a crucial part of how math needs to change in the public eye. And the work we're doing in the classroom, it needs to be supported by changing views of math outside our classroom walls. If you're not following Howie, go follow him now to be reminded that math can be many things, including a good time. If something in this episode inspired you, please tweet us at Math Therapy. And you can also follow me personally at The Math Guru on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Math Therapy is hosted by me, Vanessa Vicaria. It was created by me and Sabina Wex, and it's produced and edited by David Kochberg. Our theme music is by Goodnight Sunrise. And guys, if you know someone who needs math therapy or just needs to hear someone else getting math therapy, please, please, please share this podcast and rate or review it on whatever podcast app you use. Those things actually make such a big difference for us. I'm determined to change the culture surrounding math, and I need your help. So spread the word. Until next time, peace, love, and pie. What is your favorite number and why is it 7? The answer will shock you. Do I sound like a wrestler?
A wrestler? What are you talking about?
Keep that part in.
In what? Now you're producing? You're like, yeah, put it through the trailer, in the outtakes trailer.